We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man,
we got some Falcon news you need to hear. Here is what happened yesterday before we get to this news that just came down, because it's early in camp and it feels like we're already dealing with an injury. Now, there was a play yesterday that Mike brought up. We were at Hooters yesterday. Thanks for all the folks who came out and hung out with us. We'll be back up there on Tuesday and Thursday of next week at Hooters Mall of Georgia. But there was a play yesterday where Darnell Mooney went up high. And, Mike, you were asking me, like, we were talking about it yesterday, and you said, who was the corner? And I mentioned it. It was Lamar Jackson was his name.
Right.
Number 38, I believe. And so he went up high to make a play, and Darnell Mooney came down. Mooney left the field, went to see a trainer, and we really didn't really pay attention. But the deal was he didn't return. So today, Mike, the news comes down that the Falcons have signed a receiver.
Yeah, DJ Shark, who's still, you know, not the oldest, you know, not like he's a wash-up guy. I mean, if he can stay healthy, he had problems, as you would say, with his groin.
Correct.
Last year, and a hip injury, which only limited him to 7 games with the Chargers for a team that was really looking for a downfield threat. This is a guy that did run. I looked it up. He ran a 4.34
fast
back in 2018. That was his 2018 combine. But DJ Shark, he's a bigger target than Darnell Mooney. If it is in fact Darnell Mooney that we're going to maybe be missing
now, and again, nothing official from the Falcons.
Nothing came from the Falcons. It just happened that we were on the sideline. Darnell Mooney literally came down right in front of us. And it could be, you know, anything from a middle of the body injury to, I don't know. It looked awkward the way he came down. But anyway, DJ Shark in the NFL for a number of years. He had been a Pro Bowler, guys. This guy put up some good numbers for Jacksonville. 8 touchdowns in 2019, 73 for 118 targets. The production has come down. Played 11 games for Detroit, 15 for Carolina, and then last year just 7 with the Chargers. So if he can stay healthy, though, it is a really big target. Opposite what you got with Drake London for Michael Penix Jr. But the speed element, nobody competes with what Darnell Mooney's bringing.
Well, this is why I believe, and again, we could be incorrect on this, and we'll make sure we get confirmation at some point. The Falcons will let us know, but Mooney was brought here to stretch the field.
Right.
And you don't sign another slot guy or guy, Mike, that can catch the balls over the middle because you feel like you have that already. I feel like this is an intentional signing to bring more speed to the outside, and I think that's Mooney. So we're going to see. I hope it's not, because you guys know I love him. Last year, guys, I told you he was going to have a big year, and he did.
He very easily, except for a little bit banged up late, he could have 1,000 yards easily.
Yeah, he was at 992, and there were some games where Kirk Cousins forgot he existed.
Right.
So Mooney, 5 touchdowns last year. He had a big year. I mean, again, he caught 64 balls, had over 106 targets. But you try to fill the void, Mike, and I think that's why he gets a 1-year deal. His agent, by the way, our buddy Todd France. France is doing his thing. But we're talking about DJ Shark. He is a guy that can potentially fill the void. My concern, you're right, he's fast. Hopefully he kept his speed. We don't know. Is why has his production tailed off the way it has over the last 4 years?
Yeah, he just can't stay healthy.
So that would be my concern. But again, maybe this is not a long-term
deal. They're reporting a 1-year deal from Rappaport.
What I'm saying, whatever injury, maybe is not a long-term situation. But we don't have confirmation. But this is interesting, guys, because again, you don't make a move like this. And by the way, you're saying, wait a minute, where did this come from, Dukes and Bell? He came in for a visit today. We started the show and we told you, hey, Falcons are hosting DJ Shark. Didn't really think about it. Then he signs before 5:00 and we're like, wait a minute. It's just kind of one of those deals where this all kind of looks like it makes sense as to why they may be doing this. But we're going to wait for confirmation. But, Mike, that's what we think happened.
Right. So that's the word out there. Ian Rappaport, a couple other folks have it, but we haven't heard from the Falcons. And, again, nothing about what's going on with Darnell Mooney, because if anybody, you know, if he's not hurt, then all of a sudden, wow, that's a lot of firepower at the wide receiver position.
But, agreed, yeah.
But we told you yesterday on the show, it was something that was noticeable to us. It didn't look right.
All right, 404-726-0929. So that is happening, and tomorrow we will learn more. You will hear more here on 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg are going to be at Flowery Branch 9 till 1 tomorrow. Then Sunday, Mike Johnson and Dylan Matthews will be out there. But we'll get more information on this, and as we come back Monday, we'll have a full story for you and certainly what the lay of the land is. But I hope it's not, because I feel like, again, whatever connection – is going on with London, Mooney, Ray McLeod, Pitts, Bijan, with Michael Penix, Mike. It feels good. it feels like they're all connecting. And, you know, Pitts, everybody's talking about his golf game and how he's playing with Penix. And Michael Penix told us yesterday, yeah, I'm enjoying golf, but, like, that's about to stop because the season's about to roll around here and I'm not going to have that kind of time. But there seems to be this connection. And I just, from that standpoint, I hope that Mooney, if it is him or whomever it might be here on the receiving corps, you don't just bring in a guy, guys, and sign him for 1 year for just cuz.
Right. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. But you heard it here first on Dukes and Bell. But, yeah, man, the rest of the word, you guys are like, why aren't they practicing today? We talked about it earlier. It's not anything to do with the Falcons, guys. This is how the NFL and the Players Association worked out the collective bargaining agreement. And so if you're used to, if you're an old guy, you've seen two-a-days, those things are gone the day away, the dodo. So it's just a very slow ramp up. By this time next week, though, the guys will be in pads.
You know the only players left on the roster since Terry Fontenot took over in 2021 are kicker Younghoe Koo and corner A.J. Terrell. Jake Matthews is here.
Only guy left from the Super Bowl team.
Yeah, and what this means is, and we're going to talk about it for a second here, but Chris Lindstrom, Caleb McGarry, we're talking about, you know, Thomas Dimitroff being here. That was the end, right? Fontenot comes in going into the fifth year, but it's interesting. So you don't have a lot of retention. This is a different team.
Mm.
And for all the things that you may or may not have thought about Arthur Smith, Mike, a lot of these guys were Arthur Smith, Miss Smith's picks, right? Bijan, Drake, because they were trying to improve the offense. So now you look at the roster and you say there's not a lot of carryover from when Terry Fontenot got here. And this is when you truly do say, Mike, now I'm judging you on your roster because these are your guys.
These are your guys.
These are your guys. Right.
And we've talked about, you know, Kyle Pitts. It's funny because a couple guys today, they got a kick out of our conversation yesterday when you were like, what? When I said, what, you know, you asked me, what if Pitts balls out? I said, they won't have enough money. You're like, they'll always have enough money. I said, I'm not sure. But and I was talking to one of our guys who follows his name is Black Man There. And he's like, you always try to run Pitts out of town. I said, look, we all want Pitts to ball out. Do your job, man. But then it will be, maybe a difficult decision. Maybe it won't be. Maybe you'll be back for a new contract. But if you get a new contract for Pitts, that's going to be the going rate for the best tight ends in the league. So we'll see. That's as we said yesterday, a good problem to have. I hate to lose Darnell Mooney if this is going to be something which perhaps will take more than a few, you know, weeks of the regular season.
Yeah.
But DJ Chark is a name we even talked about last year at times.
He is, and here's the other thing. When you say, well, why ain't he been signed? Guys, situations happen. And if there's a bunch of guys right now that are not signed anywhere, it doesn't mean that they won't get signed before the end of camp or before the start of the season. This is just the way things work. It doesn't mean that they don't have interest or that teams may not bring them in, just like the Falcons did today, and say, hey, come visit. And next thing you know, they get a gig.
But so, availability is part of it. And, again, he had a hip injury during their camp with the Chargers.
That's right.
And then he had a groin injury, as you say, in Texas.
Groin.
And so that's why he missed all those games. He missed, you know, 10 weeks of action for L.A.
I hope he can
help. That's why he gets a one-year deal, because he's relatively inexpensive.
Correct. I hope he can help us. It's funny, Carrie, who covers, or not covers, but loves the Falcons, she just put out there, prayer circle for Darnell Mooney. She's got candles all around Mooney's name because everybody is just, again, speculating, as we are, that would be the case. But it just, it doesn't make sense to bring in another wide receiver when you feel really good about your receiving core. Ray-Ray McCloud, too. Remember, Ray-Ray was having a good year, and then he got injured last year.
Right. He got banged up. And I went back and I looked at the game log. Yeah, he got hurt in that final, next to last week. He was banged up in the Commanders game. So that's why we didn't see it. Darnell Mooney played in the final week against Carolina. He goes over 1,000 yards.
Easy. I totally agree.
He only had don't even get me started. You did forget about him. In the game
forgot about it.
Well, where Cousins throws the four picks against the Chargers.
What's up, Darnell?
And he had like three targets in that game.
You forgot about it.
Yeah.
Now I'm saying, damn, Darnell.
By the way, somebody said Cousins walked by us when we were talking to Michael Penix Jr. yesterday.
I didn't see him.
I didn't see it either.
He could have stopped.
Well, that would have been an awkward conversation.
No, it wouldn't have. He stopped us before.
Yes.
He could have said, Dukes and Bell, what's up?
Hey, yeah. Mike, how's your heart doing?
He could have stopped.
It's great, Kirk. Thanks for asking. Sorry things didn't work out. I don't think that was so mean-spirited. I was just keeping it real, man.
The reply did not read that way.
That's what I said.
It said that, but it was implied different.
But you know me. If I'm going to talk ish about somebody, I want them to let them know if they're not already aware of it, that I was talking ish. So it was kind of like a telephone game.
Sometimes you just got to take a compliment.
I guess.
That may be why he didn't stop yesterday.
Mm. Well, we still can talk to him. I can apologize.
Yeah, I didn't see him, though. But somebody did say that. They were like, Cousins passed right by you guys when we were talking to Penix.
Nobody was more excited about this guy. If you remember, I had a man crush on this dude. And nobody's more heartbroken than I was after things went off the rails.
All right, man. We got more to get to. News again. Veteran free agent wide receiver DJ Chark Spent the last year with the Chargers, signing with the Falcons. It is a one-year deal. And Mike said it was drafted, what was it, 2018? Drafted 18 or 19?
2018. Ran a 4.34 at the combine.
All right. That's the news today, and the news is what's going on with our wide receiver core.
If he can stay healthy, I hate to lose Darnell. We don't know if we're going to lose Darnell.
Correct.
But if it is extended period, these are two, between Drake Letham, these are two big athletic targets, along with Pitts and Bijan. But I mean,
I'd like to add him. I don't want anybody hurt.
No, I would love to see. I mean, imagine if it was him and Mooney and Ray, and that's a hell of a group.
It would be a good group. Right. All right, man, we're coming back. We'll talk Braves. They are back in action tonight. We'll give you the rotations for the weekend and talk about the trade deadline, which is looming, and everybody just assumes that he is gone. It's Dukes and Bell. Grant McCauley's here, Braves insider and MLB insider as well. Rangers Braves tonight. And Grant, good to have you back on. Let's talk a little bit about this game because Mike and I were talking about the pitching matchup. Joey Wentz, you know, 2-1, 5.71 ERA in three major league teams, should I say. But this is kind of what you said the other day when I asked you, we're going to see this, right? Guys in and out of the rotation. But all you're asking for is to give us a shot, right? We want to see the bats working. We want to see some guys, again, hopefully heat up. But we got to get a shot with the starting pitching. What, have you seen enough of Joey Wentz to have any idea of what to feel good about heading into tonight's contest?
Yeah, I think the first couple of appearances that you've seen from him, I mean, he's done everything you can ask for somebody who really wasn't stretched out to be a starter or I think really more than a multi-inning reliever. And when I say that, I mean like a couple of innings. But he's been able to go 3 and 4 innings. He was able to throw 4 shutout his last time out, which was pretty impressive. It was not a bad lineup that he was facing either. Unfortunately, that was the game that went so awry last Saturday. So we don't have to relitigate that. But Joey Wentz did his job. The offense did his job. It was a bad day for the bullpen. But unfortunately, this is the necessity, at least for right now, where Atlanta is. Until they can get Chris Sale back, until they can find other answers, maybe other options, or want to try out some of their starters in the minor leagues, whether that's Hurston Waldrip or J.R. Graham or somebody else. I don't know. I mean, they've got a few guys that are kind of in the middle to lower levels of the minors, but we've also seen a cautionary tale of maybe not trying to throw guys into the fire before they're ready for that and don't have that flame-proof suit on. And that's not any kind of a joke about the game that we've got at the racetrack coming up next weekend. Yeah. But, yeah, there's just a lot to, I think, right now just get through so that you're able to truly size up what you need to do to get this thing turned around in the larger sense. In the final couple of months, you're not going to be able to erase what the first 3.5 months have been. But at the very least, maybe you can feel good about some of the things you have in place and know exactly what you need to find in the offseason to make this club a better version of itself, to make a very long story short.
Grant McCauley's with us, guys, as now we're going to be days away from the trade deadline. So safe to say Sean Murphy is non-negotiable. And I guess the future means in the short term, Drake Baldwin, he will get every third day he'll catch and he'll be the DH next year.
I mean, maybe. It's hard to say exactly because we've seen that plan come out and then, you know, somebody gets hit by a pitch, somebody strains an oblique, right. And the next thing you know, the whole thing has changed. But that I do think is kind of at the core of why the Braves like having multiple guys who are capable of doing the catching thing. I mean, we saw in 2021, I've called this for years, an open tryout after Travis d'Arnaud got hurt to just try to cover the 3 months that he was out. And when he got back, he caught every single inning of that postseason run, which is a pretty incredible feat for a catcher. And I know there's some days off and whatnot, but that's a pretty insane thing to think about. So, yeah, this is, I think, as much as anything about having a strength that will help you not only behind the plate for continuity's sake, but two guys who know how to hit and also two guys that know how to handle a pitching staff. Sean Murphy is one of the best in baseball. I think Drake Baldwin has a great IQ for this. I think he's learning a ton. I think he learned a lot from Sandy Leone last year. When I talked to Drake in spring training, he was giving credit to guys like Leone and Yuli Gurriel. I mean, 40 years old, but still playing in AAA. A lot that he could teach a young player, 21, 22-year-old Drake Baldwin, to have him ready for what he's done this year. So, you know, whether or not they want to revisit this in the winter, which I think is a better time to consider trading someone like a Sean Murphy or Michael Harris or Ozzie Albies, if that's what people are looking at, is kind of either trading from a strength like catcher or trying to get something for guys who have disappointed you in other ways, the trade deadline is probably not going to yield the Braves the best market for what they're looking to do.
Everybody just assumes he's gone. We're talking about Marcell Ozuna. Are you on that same bus? Are you? Do you believe that? Or where are you at with the trade deadline in Ozuna as we speak right now? Obviously, things could change, but what do you feel?
Well, hopefully I'm not on the same bus he's on. I am. You know, we may not be having too many more calls. But no, I really do think that he's probably played his last few games here with Atlanta leading up this week, if there is interest out there. It is quite possible that clubs could look at it and say, well, we're going to pass because the hip has just given us pause and we're just not going to give much for him. And maybe the Braves look at it and don't have much of an offer and a team doesn't want to take on the salary. I mean, I don't think the Braves are saying, well, we want to pay him to play someplace else. At the very least, you want to move that freight as well. And I know that there's a lot of semantics we can get into about all the Braves saving money and all of the things that come with that. But that would kind of be the purpose of trading a Marcell Ozuna or Raisel Iglesias, is just being able to move their salary on. Maybe you're able to move that around a little bit and do a little bit of buying that could possibly get you a starter that would help for the remainder of the season and be controllable in 2026. That would certainly be nice. It would involve a few different dominoes falling, but again, it just remains to be seen how exactly Alex Anthopoulos is going to approach this. The aggressiveness that he's had in the past, I just really don't see a place for that this year, because there's not much you can do to breathe life into the season again for a club that is routinely double-digit games under 500.
It's a Grant McCauley, guys. His Braves going to be out in Texas, baby. What's going to happen with Snicker? Is there going to be an announcement they're going to extend his contract? Is there going to be an announcement that he's going to be riding off into the sunset? Haven't heard anything.
No, we haven't really, and that's kind of been the, I guess, interesting factor about it. I mean, I've talked to Snit a lot this year. I have not asked him personally if he's planning to retire. I don't know if that's the appropriate thing to ask somebody. I've never really thought about it that hard, I guess, until now. But it does sound like, from a lot of folks around the team and your writers that cover the team as well, we certainly had conversations of, you think this is it? I was having one with somebody in the local media just a few days ago about, what do you think? Is he coming back for year 50? I mean, there's no guarantee that next year is going to be better than this year. Sorry to throw that bucket of cold water on everything. So even if you want to have a better one to go out on, again, there's just no guarantee that it's going to all turn around. There are some cases to be made for the Braves trying to do things to reconfigure the voice and the leadership of the club, not as a complete detriment to Snit, but just because these things, just over time, it's just part of the game. It's part of how it works. But he's done a lot for this club in 49 years. I'm sure if he doesn't want to manage next year or doesn't end up managing, he can serve the club in some other capacity. And I think it's just about finding what is best for the Braves and making that best decision on who can lead this team into the future, because it does seem like they're at a pivotal point where some conversations are certainly going to have to be had to have better results than we've seen in 2025. There's just no two ways about it. Everybody knows it, even if it's not being said out loud every day. The players, I think, are carrying around that burden as well, that they didn't want this season, and they certainly didn't want Snit to go out on this note if, in fact, this is his last year.
Rangers send out right-hander Nathan Eovaldi. He's been really good. And tonight won't be easy. Like, they're not walking into a situation in Texas where they're going to be able to just, easily get hits. This guy, Eovaldi, would be leading the majors, Mike, in ERA if he had enough innings to qualify. He's, produced 94 strikeouts and 91 innings over 16 starts. And then they've got Jacob DeGrom, who's also 3-0 in four starts since coming back after a month-long stint on the injury list. So the point is, Grant, again, we want guys to get hot, but this is going to be a tough task tonight.
Yeah, it definitely will be. I don't think they're going to see DeGrom in this series, but in terms of what's going right for the Rangers lately, he's absolutely one of those. I mean, how about All-Star Jacob DeGrom again after all of the injuries that he's been dealing with? One of the best pitchers that any of us, I think, have ever seen, at least in this generation, is Jacob DeGrom, and obviously the Rangers paid him an awful lot of money to come help them out. But yeah, Nathan Eovaldi is a guy that I think back in the winter, if we were flashing back to conversations we've had and making a wish list of guys that could help out the Braves rotation that you could have gotten, Eovaldi would have been nice. But the Rangers, they ponied up. They paid him big to keep him around, and he certainly has been helping lead that rotation. We are going to see Kumar Rocker and I believe Jack Leiter in the other two games.
Correct.
Those are a couple of young guns for this club, so they'll be a tough task, I think, that you might be unfamiliar with.
Was Eovaldi thinking about leaving, or was he never leaving just based on the money that they were offering? I don't remember.
When you're a free agent, I think you always think about it. But the clubs, and I think the Rangers in this case, if I remember correctly, kind of went on that preemptive strike of, we don't want to let this guy get away. Okay. We want to go ahead and make him priority one.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, he's a dude.
It is our man, Graham McCauley, wrapping things up. Gee, I know we're not going to be buying, but some teams are going to be buying, and maybe in this division. You buying that the Mets are going to be buying Eugenio Suarez from the D-backs? Because his name has been mentioned, linked with them. That'd be a lot of home run power.
Yeah, no, well, the Braves saw it. Four home runs in one game, and the Braves managed to give him the Bob Horner treatment and allow the Diamondbacks to lose it. But either way, I mean, Eugenio Suarez has been a prolific slugger throughout his career. The strikeouts have been a problem at times, but you look at major league home run leaders. I mean, I didn't expect Cal Raleigh to be the guy. Aaron Judge, I certainly did. You expect to see Ohtani up there, but Eugenio Suarez is also hanging out in that rare air. So somebody out there, I think, is going to go after him to shore things up at third base. The Yankees made a deal for Ryan McMahon of the Rockies to try to help them out at third base because Jazz Chisholm did not work there. It's been a black hole for them. Chisholm's moved back over to second base. But to go back to the Mets, I think they're going to be buying. I think they're going to be looking for pitching just like everybody else, and they're going to try to make a run of it. And if they could get a little bit more power in that lineup to go along with Pete Alonso and some of those other thumpers they have and Francisco Lindor and the likes, it could be a very dangerous team if they do what they did last year and get hot down the stretch and make a run towards October.
Grant, when are you on this weekend?
I will be on 5 to 7 on Sunday. Sunday, of course, is induction day for the Hall of Fame. Mm. I was able to chat with the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame, Josh Rauch. You'll hear my conversation with him. We'll hear from the inductees and their families, of course, because Dick Allen and Dave Parker both have passed. Parker most recently, which is really heartbreaking. He finally succumbed to his battle with Parkinson's. But we'll get into all of that. Ichiro Suzuki, CC Sabathia, Billy Wagner, former Brave, briefly as well. Talk a lot about that. And, of course, we'll size up what happens in the state of Texas and with the trade deadline looming for the Atlanta Braves. It's From the Diamond, 2 hours on Sunday, 5 to 7. You can also find it wherever you get your podcasts and on the Odyssey app.
And, Grant, just because you know you and me, we love the history of baseball, of Carl.
Yes.
The Dave Parker throw in the 79 All-Star Game in Seattle, that's one of those childhood memories Carl and I always talk about. And I got to see Dave Parker a lot when the Mets playing the Pirates in that division. He was, to me, I mean, that was a no-brainer. It's a shame he won't be around to see it.
Yeah, it really is, but I am glad that his legacy is going to be. He got the opportunity to know that he's a Hall of Famer. They made the trip to him in Cincinnati to give him his Hall of Fame jersey and hat. It's one of the things that they do for the players when they do get elected. And, of course, in his condition, he wasn't going to be able to do a ton of traveling, but his family will be there. His son, this is a little spoiler alert for the interview coming up on Sunday, but his son will be given the Hall of Fame acceptance speech for Dave Parker. And from what I hear, he's the spitting image of the Cobra, so that should be pretty cool.
He's a big boy, man. Great stuff, Grant. Appreciate you, brother, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. You do the same. We'll talk to you next week.
When he passed, I reached out to Phil Garner, who played with him, Scrap Iron.
Yeah.
And the stories are endless, but he talked about, like I said this to you, Mike, nobody messed with Dave Parker.
No, man.
Nobody.
The We Are Family Pirates team with him and Stargell with Pops. Oh, man, just something special. Ichiro going in. CC Sabathia apparently broke down on the New York Thruway. Posted a video of him and his family. I presume that Uber is going to send him an SUV or two to get all their luggage up to Cooperstown.
Ichiro was a bad dude, man. We forget how good Ichiro was.
You realize one guy voted against him?
Didn't vote for it?
I mean, who's
silly.
That guy?
All right, we're coming back. He's got all the confidence in the world, and we're loving it. It's Dukes and Bell. If you're just tuning in, Falcons did make a move today, Mike, signing a wide receiver that has people going, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, DJ Chark. Chark was with the Jaguars, and he bounced around with the Lions. He was with the Chargers last year, got hurt. Groin injury, as Carl would say.
In his
hip. He hurt that in August. So he's had some moments. 73 receptions, 118 yards for 1,000. Was a Pro Bowler in 19 with 8 touchdowns in his second year with Jacksonville. He is, I don't know if he's got that same burst he had when he was a rookie, but he did run a 4.34 in his combine, in the 2018 combine. But he's available because he can't stay healthy. It's a one-year deal. Why do we sign him? We told you yesterday on the show, Carl and I, literally right in front of us. I want to say it was a Michael Penix throw that kind of hung up a little bit.
It was.
And you mentioned it was Lamar Jackson, the defensive back. And it was basically two guys converged on our Darnell Mooney. And as he came up, I don't know, guys. Carl and I were just saying off the air. We're just telling you what we saw. We got no official word from the Falcons, but he landed kind of hyperextended. He landed hard on his side. So I don't know if it's hip or ribs or, but anyway, it was an awkward, hard landing from a pretty high up. That's the way I saw it on Darnell Mooney. Then he was out of practice after that.
Yeah, and again, we've not got confirmation from the Falcons on this, but this is our speculation about it because these are the things we're trying to put together. And if you're saying, well, what if they just added a wide receiver? This is interesting too. I mean, either way, but I just don't think you do this when you have your roster set and you're ready to go to camp unless, in fact, there is some kind of injury that is either looming. With that said, that news broke literally around 5 o'clock, and we wanted you to know if you're heading to practice tomorrow. If Mooney does not practice, we will see. Right. We don't know if that's the case. But if he's out there, then, Mike, that's going to bring up a lot more speculation as to, okay, well, did we just want to add to the wide receiving core? Were they looking at this? But we will see how it plays out. Either way, Shark is here, and we'll see what happens there.
And also, Kobe Bryant was an undrafted free agent, but a lot of guys felt he's one of the best defensive players in the Big 12. Day-Day, you said he's on the – it's like the unhurt, I'm not healthy. What is the list he's on?
Yeah, it's the non-injury illness list.
Okay, so yeah. He's got something going on.
Yeah, something's going on. Not sick.
Right. Not hurt, but
not
sick.
Not hurt, yeah. Right. Exactly. Hey, man, I want you to hear Michael Penix, because when Mike and I spoke to him yesterday, and you missed the interview, it's online, odyssey.com. Make sure you subscribe, and you can hear all of the interviews, not only tomorrow or the next day, Monday, every day, but certainly subscribe to Dukes and Bell, and you can hear our stuff as well. But when we talked to Michael Penix yesterday, and, you know, we mentioned this, he oozes confidence, but it's not in a cocky way, okay? It's not like you walk up on him and he's like, you know, what? That's not what it is. It's just, I know who I am. I know what I bring. And it comes out. So when he said this, talking about the offense yesterday, a lot of people, you know, kind of did a double take. And around the country, Mike, this is getting some run because people are like, wow, Penix talking about the offense could be the best in the league. Why wouldn't he say this? Here's Michael Penix.
No, we got to win. we got to get there, man. That's always the goal, man. Goal trying to win every one, you know. But we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that we do that.
He's talking about the playoffs because Mike asked him about the goal of getting to the playoffs. And, you know, he was like, well, why wouldn't we want to get there? Like, I've got to win. I know what's at stake here. Here's the other Penix cut that I was talking about where he said this offense has the potential to be the best in the league.
The potential, we should be the best in the league, you know, with the guys we got around us. You know, we got a great offensive line as well. You know, those guys work extremely hard in the trenches, you know, with Coach Leffert out there leading those guys, doing a great job with those guys. You know, we should be unstoppable. So that's our goal. We want to be number one in all the categories on the offensive side of the ball. So.
And I like it. You know, we talked about this earlier in the show. First off, you know, he's 25, so he does bring some, you know, that leadership, the gravitas, was captain at Washington. And is, you know, maybe an effort to, hey, these are my guys. This is my offensive line, and they're really good. And my skill position guys are the best. And we could be one of the best teams. He said, hey, if things are rolling, and I like that. And also, it's not like maybe it's conscious, maybe it's unconscious, but he's trying to, you know, take some leadership, and this is my team. You know, and I think he's comfortable with that. I think that's nothing wrong with saying that, because if this team plays well, some of those things are going to happen.
Mike, I think sometimes as Falcon fans, we're afraid of our own shadow.
Exactly. We don't say that.
Don't say that.
Right. Like Braves fans. Oh, no. Don't be aggressive. Don't hit somebody. Don't challenge anyone.
Yeah.
Don't protect your own players. Can't do that.
I've always said it's going to take a player or players to come in and have a certain kind of attitude. Now, you got to win, but have a certain kind of attitude so that we don't get afraid of our own selves. Like, we're not afraid to say the things that we think our team can be because we've been let down. I hear you. I get it. But I also think, Mike, I don't want to go into any season and be like, well, I hope we accomplish some hope. No, we're going into the season with a mindset of we're going to be able to accomplish some things. So for me, I'm on point with this. And Michael Penix, thank you. I'm glad you're saying this. This is what you should be saying. Mm-hmm. And if you don't accomplish it, guess what? We come back the next year and we try to do it again. Like, let's not just set the bar, Mike, here because we've been let down so much. And that's what I think some Falcon fans, not all, but some Falcon fans are like, oh, man, he shouldn't be. You know, Michael Penix talking about the best offense. They ain't been that good. Who cares?
Right. I mean, look, guys, you're pumping up your team. We've heard this. You know, we talked about, you know, sometimes it does seem a bit far-fetched if you're a quarterback saying that Alabama doesn't have Nick Saban to protect him. You know, in the case of Castellanos down in Tallahassee, yeah. That's one thing. But here's a guy with a team that we were in the friggin' playoffs. Adam Schefter said that to us the other day. You were a playoff team until the Cousins thing went off the rails. And that's the team that he inherits. And we think this defense is demonstrably better this year.
I do too.
So, you know, Leonard Floyd wasn't on this team last year, regardless of what you think the rookies are going to do. So we know what we're capable of, and I like him putting it out there. Have some confidence, man. Let's create a little swagger. But this guy, he's a leader, and as Carl said, it's a good way to describe it. He's a low-key guy, but people, you know, listen to what he has to say. And this team loves this guy.
They really do. 404-726-0929. You can text us. You got a problem with this? Because I don't. We doesn't. We don't. Like, you shouldn't either. And if we don't go into the season with confidence, and by the way, he plays the most important position on the field. If he doesn't go into the season with confidence, then you're not going to get the best Michael Penix that we can get. And the best Michael Penix, Mike, we saw a glimpse, I think, of what he was in college. And if you watch him at Washington, guys, he was ripping teams. I mean, they were scoring. Now, he had, you know, Adunze and some guys out there that ultimately are in the NFL, but all these good teams do. That's what good teams have. Right. They've all got good. And look at the guys Bryce Young was throwing to at Alabama. They're all in the NFL, yes. Right?
It's loaded.
So that's just the nature of it. But he was ripping teams up. And that's what I want to see starting week one.
And that's the thing, you know, again, it's a small sample size, but as we talked about with Steve Weiss from NFL Network, Brian McFadden was on today. You can always rewind on all those interviews on the Odyssey app and check it out. But, you know, he, in a small sample size, leads all quarterbacks. I know, just three games. But the attempts in the air, 10 yards per throw. Mm. You know, we talked about, you know, the vertical passing game, the downfield threat. Yes, it sucks if we're going to lose Darnell Mooney in the short term or hopefully not long term, but we do have some other weapons, you know, maybe. And also another thing about leadership, the way he goes in the press conference yesterday, we talked about it a lot. He goes, hey, man, we got the ball in KP's hands. So here's a guy. Now, I don't know what his relationship is with Kyle Pitts. If he's forged a relationship in this offseason, he feels maybe the media, us, we're picking on. Why are you picking on this guy?
Right.
He's stepping up for his guy. Thinks this guy can be a big-time weapon for this team. We all want to see it happen. Maybe he'll finally be the conduit for it to actually occur. Right? We're going to talk about Penix to Pitts.
It'd be nice.
Right?
It would be nice.
And then Pitts gets a big contract and does it again for 4 or 5 years.
Correct, because now you're established and you are expected to do these special things. Mr. Yo follows us on social media. We invite you to as well. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And he was like, man, I need you to get back on, you know, this Pitts bandwagon. Look, I never have jumped off. I've just been disappointed because I feel like, to quote Coach Ra, we've not gotten the best Pitts we needed.
Right.
That's all. It's not as if I've jumped off. As a matter of fact, I was the guy touting him last year saying, come on, we need you to do this, that, and the other. And right. It just never panned out that way. Now, all of it wasn't his fault. Again, quarterback's arm fell off. We know how it played out. But with that said, Mike, if he is what we think he can be, then everybody's going to be on board.
But my thing is, and I get into it with some of these guys on Twitter, do you just have a problem when we criticize an athlete?
Sometimes.
Because when you're the fourth overall pick and you've got 10 touchdowns in 4 years, that deserves some criticism. Okay, we can get into, and we do know the nuances, you know, from, ironically, one touchdown only with Matt, then having two bums thrown him the football, and then last year. But, I mean, there's the things that the experts have said about him, you know, the guys that played the position. So I say, look, there's always two sides to every story. Is Zach Robinson utilizing him? You know, is this guy putting the work in? Has he been mentally checked out because he hasn't been healthy or he's frustrated with his usage rate because some of the quarterbacks been thrown him were terrible? So maybe all of that is part of the answer.
Yeah.
But now you got a quarterback who isn't all that. This guy is good and gets it and can get the ball in your hands if you're doing what you need to do.
That's the key. That is the key. By the way, we played a soundbite earlier from Abe. Abe was filling in for the steakhouse.
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
Yeah, so he's interviewing Young Wei Koo, and he's basically talking about kicking, and he dropped that bomb right there, which we were astonished by. And Abe then hits us up, Mike, on social media and says, guys, I stand by my comments. Abe, thank you for the comedy relief that we just received. I don't know if Mike and I have laughed that hard in a very long time. For somebody who's not an aficionado.
Play it again, Art.
Who is aficionado?
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
Yeah, for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
Couldn't believe it. But Abe literally hit us up. Yeah. Mike goes, I stand on my comments.
Again, a guy liked it. A guy said he's going to use that line I used earlier. I said he's not really a jack of all trades. He's more like a nine of all trades. So give me credit on that on social media.
But Abe, we love you, man. That was great. And I'm sure Young Wei Koo enjoyed it as well. Hey, man. Turtle's coming up. He's got the night show. Want to remind you, Atlanta United taking on Seattle. Pregame at 6:30. Saturday, kicks at 7:30. And then Saturday, as far as Falcons, we got you covered at training camp. Sam and Greg are going to be there 9 a.m. to 1 o'clock. And then also Mike Johnson and Dylan Matthews on Sunday from 9 until 1. Mm. We, along with the morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy Randy, all are back at Flowery Branch on Tuesday. And then, Mike, we're headed to Hooters Mall of Georgia to do the show.
Right.
And it was so much fun yesterday, man. Look, I know we tell
Gwinnett is popping.
We tell you guys that we have such a good time with our listeners, and people come out and they get a chance to hang out with us. And look, we're doing a show, but we do interact throughout the breaks and all the stuff that's going on. And Mike, I just tell you, yesterday made us feel good, man, because everybody, there were a lot of people who showed up in the power situation, and they were like, I don't know if I'm going to stick around. And then they came back.
Yeah, we had like 30 people waiting to get in, but you had no juice, but the juice came on. Thanks to Mike Conti for making the command decision, our boss, to stay it out, and also the Hooters guys for getting things cranking up. And we'll be back Tuesday and Thursday next week. It's going to be a busy week. Friday, guys, we're going to be at Lake Lanier, Margaritaville, right? We're going to be
over Lanier Islands, yeah.
Going to have some fun, man. We're going to be doing some stuff in the water.
Yeah, and then the following Friday, guess what happens? Preseason game.
Just August 8th.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just like that. All right, man. We got to get out of the way and clear our throat. Hey, everybody. Have a great weekend. Day-Day, great job this week. Executive producing, terrific work. Oh, behind the glass, keeping us up and running as always. Looking forward to seeing what happens this weekend. More on this signing with DJ Shark. And if, in fact, there is an injury update, we will have it covered for you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So stay tuned for that. All right. Turtle's on the way. He'll be here at 6. Mike Bell. Let's get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man. Cam Newton, you got to get off of this thing. No one debates your legacy. You're one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. You had an MVP season. You won the Auburn National Championship nearly single-handed. Stop throwing shade at Jalen Hurts, basically saying that 2,900 yards isn't elite numbers. Well, not every quarterback has Saquon freaking Barkley. And when you add up his rushing touchdowns, because I know Jalen only threw for 18 last year, but he also rushed for 14. That'd be 32. So he is an elite athlete, and he showed it in the Super Bowl with through amazing throws. So, Cam, we all know that you're a great quarterback, and maybe it's a shame your career was cut short. Your legacy stands on its own. You don't need to be throwing shades and getting in these pissing contests with guys like Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky about other people.
Hey, I love him. I have Hook'em. And what's going on with Scottie Scheffler? Today we found out that Scottie, in fact, owned that he was the guy that released gas at the Open Championship. He hits it, and then he lets it rip. Literally.
Green. Downwind, you can get onto this green, but Scheffler.
How many guys say, yeah, that was me. He owned it, and I love it. Hey, man, have a great weekend. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
You don't?
I guess the haggis gives you the wins.
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.